Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I appreciate that you think that was a big success, evacuation, but the blame for the disastrous withdrawal that everyone agrees was a disaster, who's to blame for that?
Well, we're waiting.
I'll let the silence speak for itself.
It's just outrageous. It's just ridiculous. And frankly, it's embarrassing. We've got to get to the bottom of it. If Congress doesn't, nobody will.
Live from the Matthews Brothers studio.
I've never been a liberal in any way, shape, or the form. There's no one who's ever thought I was. And all they need to do is we have to elect more, I guess, for them to get theirs. Elect more liberals.
Manchin and Sinema, they are the enemies right now of the democracy. It is really on life support right now.
Staying alive, staying alive. Staying alive, staying alive.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. Howie and Grace have taken the slide for the rest of the evening. I'm Taylor Cormier, Howie's executive producer. Hope everybody had a great time over at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro that showed up for today's remote broadcast with Grace and Howie. If you haven't been to Apex, I highly recommend it. And I saw some of the pictures that Grace tweeted out from the go-karts and all the games that they have there. You could hear the bowling in the background while Howie was broadcasting. It sounded like a great time. Go to HowieCarrShow.com, click on store. We still have some gift certificates left for Apex Entertainment, and also maybe a few more for Aviva Trattoria, which they have several locations throughout Massachusetts, and they are always expanding as well. So maybe coming to a location near you. Again, going to HowieCarrShow.com, click on store and get yours today. So a lot of different ways we can go with the final hour here, and we're going to hit on a few of them. I wanted to start out, though, with Dr. Fauci. I don't think we talked about Dr. Fauci all that much today. The continuous mover of the goalposts, the continuous panic porn pope of this entire pandemic. And this is really cementing itself as a cult now. I'm reading from the Post-Millennial. In an exclusive interview with The Atlantic, Joe Biden's chief medical advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, revealed that COVID-19 booster shots don't keep people alive, but can allegedly prevent severe effects from the virus. According to Dr. Fauci, booster shots add crucial temporary protection against the virus and will become a standard regimen in the future. Fauci said it's likely for a real complete regimen that you would need at least a third dose. And he changed the definition of what fully vaccinated means, and he changed it to include the booster shot. Dr. Fauci's comments regarding the need for boosters to be considered fully vaccinated comes as states across the country impose strict vaccination mandates, even threatening city and federal employees' termination if they aren't fully vaccinated. It's going to become harder and harder. And again, this cements itself as a cult. Let's actually listen to Dr. Fauci talking about what full vaccination really means. Cut five, Matt.
I've made it clear, Ed, that my opinion has always been that I believe that a third shot booster for a two-dose mRNA should ultimately and will ultimately be the proper complete regimen, as opposed to the proper and complete regimen is two doses, and then the third dose is a luxury, as it were, a luxury for a failing vaccine. The vaccine is very successful. The durability of it is something that's a subject of considerable discussion and sometimes debate.
I don't think it is debatable. With the studies have been done, they show that the vaccine loses its potency as quickly as in 6 months, sometimes even sooner, dropping down, you know, to 38% after about 6 months effectiveness rate. 38% studies out of Australia and the UK. And that's not in question. What's in question is how long is this going to go on for? How long until, and what is the end game? And I mentioned it's cementing itself as a cult because, you know, over the past few months, my wife and I, we've watched a little bit. We haven't watched it lately, but we've been watching this documentary with Leah Remini. You probably remember Leah Remini from The King of Queens. She was Doug's wife. What was her name in the show? Carrie Heffernan. Great show, one of my favorites, modern day honeymooners. In fact, Kevin James was just in New Bedford having breakfast the other day. I don't know if anybody saw that. That was pretty cool. Anyway, Leah Remini, early on in her career, was a Scientologist. And she was very, very into it. Until it started becoming clear to her that this was a cult, that this was just this pyramid scheme meant to close you off from your friends and family members and take you for everything that you're worth. And she dug deeper and deeper and was able to claw herself out and take a few people with her. But now that she's on the outside looking in, she's got this whole series. I believe it aired on CNN. I'm not entirely certain of that. But it's a great documentary series if you ever get a chance to watch it. It's, don't quote me, I think it was on Netflix. But in the series, she goes through the process of what it was like to be a Scientologist and all of the things that you had to go through in order to reach these different levels, these different stages of enlightenment, if you will. And when it started out, there was a pretty complex system. You had about 18, 20 levels of enlightenment that you could achieve, and each one cost more and more money to get the resources, the books written by L. Ron Hubbard, that, and all of these different seminars that you had to consume in order to reach that level. And these books would cost them thousands and thousands of dollars. They would put everything into Scientology and reaching the next level of enlightenment because they wanted to achieve that higher knowledge. They wanted to achieve that higher power. They wanted to achieve that all-knowing consciousness and be seen as the most pure and the most enlightened Scientologist. And this applies to many cults and organizations, not just Scientology, but I'm just using this as an example. And it got to a point where they started, you know, if somebody reached that level of enlightenment that was considered the top level, the leaders of Scientology would scramble to invent new layers, levels in between levels of enlightenment, and invent all these new Scientology courses, invent all these new, you know, write all these new books until it became impossible. And that, you know, woke a lot of people up to the scam and what it was. I look at what we're doing right now and I'm saying, isn't that what's happening now? What we're seeing with the booster shot and what it means to be fully vaccinated? To me, a full vaccination is you have something. Let's take a look at the flu vaccination. Again, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I don't give medical advice. But from what I know, my general knowledge of flu vaccines is that they might be effective. We don't know what strain of the flu is going to come out 1 year to the next. So the scientists, they blindfold each other, they pin the tail on the donkey, and they choose which strain of flu in pretty much a blind test they think is going to be dominant that year, and they choose the vaccine that has been proven to be most effective against that strain. And many times, oftentimes, you know, they all have a baseline of effectiveness for all these different strains, but some vaccines are, from again, from my general knowledge, are more effective against one strain than the next. So depending on what strain comes out, if it's a certain strain and you don't have the vaccine that's popular that year that the scientists chose out of a hat, it's not going to be as effective a vaccine as it should be. You know, it could be a 35-40% effectiveness against this strain of flu rather than a 70-85% effectiveness that would have matched that level, that strain, that vaccine, that strain. But, you know, there's no giant push. There wasn't until 2020, 2021 to get the flu vaccine. You know, it was recommended if you were going to be around older people or people with compromised immune systems, that you get a flu vaccine. It was to protect them, not to protect healthy people around you that otherwise wouldn't die. They might get the sniffles, but they most assuredly wouldn't die because they caught the flu. But what we're seeing now is we have to reach 100%, these unattainable levels. Joe Biden even said it the other day. He said, you know, he was asked, what is it going to take to get back to normal? And he said, well, look at all these companies and the schools that are mandating the vaccines. I think we're going to have to get to 97-98% vaccinated population in order to get back to normal. That is insanity. That is insane. How do you even get to that point is what I'm asking. It's incredible what we're seeing, folks. It's unattainable. It's cultish. It's that 100%. And the vaccine that we have for the vaccines, I should say, because we have different brands and that produce different levels of effectiveness. Again, the first shot gets you to 80-85% of the effectiveness rate. The second shot boosts that even more. Then it starts to diminish over time. It gets half-lives and half-lives and half-lives. And you have to get a booster shot on top of that. Where does it end? 844-500-4242. Very, very cultish. It's starting to become. We're seeing at the changing of the definition to fully vaccinated, even the people that are taking the vaccines right now just to go along, to get along, and don't want to get a booster shot, there's going to be another round of hesitancy built into this, and it's going to trickle down. It seems like they're weeding people out, who the true believers are in this system that they've created. You want to go places, you want to be on an airplane, you have to be fully vaccinated. Now, fully vaccinated is going to mean that you have your booster shot as well. 844-500-4242. We'll take your calls after the break. I'm Taylor Cormier, filling in for Howie Carr, and this is The Howie Carr Show.
He's making talk radio great again. He's Howie Carr. Traveling around New England.
Close your eyes, gang, as we hit the Kankamagas Highway. Just 4 miles to Mount Washington.
Howie has you covered. To find a station near you, go to HowieCarShow.com.
Feel that New Hampshire air.
He tells it like it is.
I want you to know that every human being that works for you knows what a diseased hypocrite you are. We all know what you are.
Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by HelloFresh. Take a load off this fall with HelloFresh. HelloFresh delivers recipes and pre-portioned ingredients to your door so you can actually enjoy dinner. Instead of stressing about meal prep and grocery shopping, get up to 14 free meals plus free shipping with code Howie14 at HelloFresh.com/Howie14. That's code Howie14 at HelloFresh.com/Howie14. I get HelloFresh delivered to my home. It's delicious. Had my longhorn turkey and black bean chili today. Polished that off. It was great. Very filling. Matt, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
So did Smith and Wesson make the right choice leaving Massachusetts?
Here's what we should say. Anytime somebody leaves Massachusetts, an angel gets its wings, just like It's a Wonderful Life. Yes, I think they made the absolute correct decision.
96% say yes.
I'm going to say, 96% of the people that took that poll, if they live in Massachusetts, they would also make the same decision as well. 844-500-4242. Let's take a few calls on this, the vaccine. Actually, before we get to the phone lines, is Dr. Fauci, does he have the booster? Is he fully vaccinated yet? Do we have Dr. Fauci on that, Matt?
I am 80 and I'm an elderly person, certainly eligible. I will certainly get a booster. Yes.
You will get one, but you have not gotten one yet.
Yeah, right.
Sure, that's it. Yeah. That's the ticket.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm certainly old enough. I'll get it. It's like he's a scorned child and yeah, okay, Ma. Yeah, fine. I'll clean my room. I get the point. Yes. Okay, fine. I'll get it. Fine. He's like Jen Psaki, has been taking lessons from her. Yeah, that's correct. Yes. Thank you very much. Next question, please. Jerry, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, Taylor. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, what's a guy got to do to get a second opinion around here?
From whom?
From a medical expert, other than Fauci?
Yeah, I mean, he's the only guy, right? Because he's... And that's the thing. He's become this darling of the media. He's become this idol, this pop culture icon that he's really only sticking around because he's a vote getter. He's pop culture. He's not science anymore. What is science? I mean, you had Joe Biden just earlier this week. I think it was on Monday, right? He got his booster shot live on television wearing his mask, okay? And the only person really around him was the person administering the booster shot. Yesterday, last night, he's at this D.C. baseball game, and he's palling around in the dugout and with everybody else, not wearing a mask, up close and personal, sniffing little girls' hair. What is that science, Jerry?
It's absurd. It really is.
Yeah. Thanks very much for the call. Willie, you're next on the Howie Carr Show with Taylor Cormier filling in. Go ahead, Willie.
Hey, Taylor. Just wanted to say you're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you.
I got in the car a little late out of work today, and I caught the tail end of your monologue of when does it end, when does it end, and it hit me so hard. It's like I've been saying this for so long. It's like, when does it end? First, it's the one mask. Then it's the two masks. And then... I know people who have gotten vaccinated, just because of whatever, and they tell everyone else, they tell someone they got the J&J shot. Oh God, they get the dirty looks. Like even getting a vaccinated J&J is not good enough. You know what I mean? It's like, when does it end, and when will it end?
Right, yeah, and I'm sure you have people out there that have gone out and gotten, several different brands of the vaccine because they think that's the best cocktail. I'm sure that's not recommended, but nobody's come out and said that's not an optimum solution. And look, again, Willie and everybody else, I am not anti-vax. I'm pro-choice when it comes to this issue. You do what's best for you. I know people that have ended up in the hospital, and they're young, healthy people, and they're still fighting. And they wish they had an opportunity to get the vaccine, but they were too young at the time. They weren't they weren't over that threshold yet when it was being rolled out. And other people that, decided not to get the vaccine or weren't around when the vaccine wasn't around when they, could have taken it and passed away. It's personal choice. We'll talk more about it on the other side. This is the Howie Carr Show.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Taylor Cormier filling in for Howie. And is this true, Matt? I see on the cut sheet, I didn't look at it that closely earlier. Cut 7, C-SPAN announcer calls Biden President Obama at the congressional baseball game. Can we hear that? There it is.
I don't think so.
There's President Obama with a baseball cap on. Can't really read what the cap says.
Wow. I mean, they look so much alike. It's so easy to get them confused. President Obama with the baseball cap on. Again, this is the game. This is the same stadium, I believe. I don't know too much about D.C. baseball, but I imagine there's only one big baseball stadium there. This is the same stadium where Fauci threw out that terrible first pitch, then sat in the stands with two other people sitting in the same seat. This is probably during the height of the pandemic, and took his mask off when, you know, everybody, including him, was saying, put your mask on, put your mask on. And this is the same game last night where Joe Biden, who's, you know, wears a mask to the podium where he's standing by himself, then walks away without the mask. He goes to a baseball game, and because it's outside, and apparently that negates everything for him because he's able to go up to people and spit in their face and say, I'm Joe Biden, at least that's what they tell me, without a mask on, and thousands of people. So what are the rules? What are the rules in Joe Biden and the Democrats' world? It doesn't make sense. That, you know, that's everything. At the Met Gala, the Emmys, the, you name it, insert celebrity awards reality show here, anything having anything to do with the elite, i.e. the Democrats, and I repeat myself, it's rules for thee and not for me. Which I jumped ship a long time ago. I can't do it. I cannot do it. I'm not doing the masks thing again. I can't do it. If it's in the store and I don't need it, I won't go in the store if they're asking me to put a mask on. I rarely make exceptions. The only time I would make an exception is if I'm with my family and I don't want my wife to be embarrassed of me any more than she already is. 844-500-4242. John, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Taylor.
How you doing?
I'm a contractor. I'm a contractor on the coast of Maine. And, you know, I've been working through this whole pandemic. I was an essential worker, which I call a throwaway. I only know a few people from Florida to Maine that actually got the COVID. I was very sick early on in the winter before COVID ever hit, and I have not even had a scare. I know restaurants around that have multiple people from multiple states and never had an outbreak, but I really think that, you know, of course, 2022 is coming, that they want to have mail-in voting. I really believe that the Democrats' ultimate end game is to bring South Americans in because they're the working class and they'll wear the mask like Nancy Pelosi's, you know, gala. But, you know, they want to get rid of Americans and have martial law to take away all our rights and basically, you know, force us into servitude.
Yeah, but it's not all South Americans, right? It's those from a few select countries who were kind of promised by Joe Biden that he'd let them in. It's not the ones, you know, in those countries that are having revolts right now against their government. They're too, you know, woke in the sense that they see through the BS that the Democrats are putting across because they're dealing with the same thing in their countries right now, trying to overthrow governments. It's amazing. You know, I held a sophisticated event at my house a few weeks ago for my son's first birthday, and nobody got sick. Nobody that I know of or that they know of. Nobody was wearing masks. Some of my family members opted not to come. That's fine. That's their choice. They knew my politics and my beliefs on the subject, and I was very upfront and open with them. And I think that's a good policy to have. You know, I don't make any secret of what I believe is right for me and my family. And if you don't want to participate with us, that's fine. I'm not going to hold it against you. I certainly might, I don't think less of you, I should say. I'll leave it at that before I get myself in trouble. Thanks very much for the call, John. 844-500-4242. Another thing that happened today, as Howie talked earlier about the nominations that were going through for U.S. attorneys across the United States, Joe Biden made his nominations, one of them being Rachel Rollins, the district attorney for Suffolk County here in Massachusetts, to U.S. Attorney for Massachusetts, the Federal Post. That was interesting to watch. I sat down, took out all the cuts out of that. But what was almost more interesting than that was what was happening in another hearing. This was the it was a hearing, a Senate Commerce Subcommittee on Consumer Protection. And this was a bipartisan committee, and it was a hearing titled Protecting Kids Online, Facebook, Instagram, and Mental Health Harms. And it follows a series of Wall Street Journal reports earlier this month. I'm reading from CNBC. That was one of the quickest articles I could get in a hurry, that were based on internal studies conducted by Facebook researchers. The stories revealed that Facebook is aware of the harmful effects of Instagram on the mental health of young users. In particular, Facebook's own studies showed that 13% of British users and 6% of American users traced their own desire to commit suicide back to Instagram. Instagram is owned by Facebook. I believe Facebook bought Instagram 2-3 years ago, and they've really turned it into something that is just a powerhouse for what they call influencers. If you reach enough followers, you know, with your videos, with your posts, they will actually pay you. Companies will pay you to feature their product. And it's a very, you know, as much as TikTok is taking over right now, Instagram is, I guess, the older version of TikTok in a sense. It's very photo driven for anybody who's not aware of what Instagram is. So one of the executives, Facebook's global head of safety, her name is Antigone Davis, A-N-T-I-G-O-N-E, Antigone. She answered questions for almost 3 hours and listened to multiple senators comparing Facebook to the tobacco industry. I don't have all the sound here. Senator, our own senator, Mr. Frosty, Ed Markey, said, and I can't really disagree with him on this, and that's one of the rare times you'll hear anybody from the Howie Carr Show say that. Facebook, he said, is just like big tobacco, pushing a product that they know is harmful to the health of young people, pushing it to them early. Also, Facebook can make money. And I don't disagree with that. It's always been that way. You know, it's geared toward kids. There's no restraints. There's no age limit. There's no age minimum. There's no oversight when it comes to kids. There's no kids version of Facebook, to my knowledge. You know, some other services out there, especially, you know, Netflix, they have a kids version where they put, you know, family-friendly programming. Many of it is very left-leaning. Much of it is left-leaning, as we've covered in The Week in Woke before. But they do have more family-friendly offerings on those platforms. Facebook, to my knowledge, does not. So what took place during this hearing was quite funny but quite sad. And I've spoken about this before when it comes to big tech. We have people in Congress right now that have no idea how anything works. Cookies, the idea of cookies has to be explained to them over and over. You know, you have really ancient people in there, Chuck Grassley's and Dick Blumenthal's in there right now, that really don't know anything about anything when it comes to technology. Again, I'm not an IT expert. I don't have a great understanding, but I've got a Facebook account. I've got an Instagram account. I have two Instagram accounts, actually. One is for my gigs, and one's for my personal. And I have a Twitter account. That's the extent of my presence on social media. I don't do TikTok. I don't do the Snapchat. I don't do the Gab or whatever else is out there. And I'm not an expert, but I know the basics. This, what I'm going to play for you, is Danang Dick Blumenthal. And I'm going to tell you a term that is used in social media. It's called Finsta. Now, I had never heard of Finsta before, but it apparently is the practice, and I figured out on my own, the F probably stands for fake. Fake Insta, fake Instagram, fake Instagram account. It's like a burner account for anybody who doesn't want anybody else to know who they are. They want to have a second, more private account where they can feel free to post their, maybe their political leanings a bit more openly, how they're actually feeling on the inside. They don't want to open up to people as themselves. They take on this identity. Finsta, fake Insta. So that was explained during this hearing by Davis, this executive, the head of Facebook Global Security. Dick Blumenthal, and again, just quickly explaining to you, the listener, kids will often have two Instagram accounts, two Facebook accounts. One is for their family and most of their friends. The other one could perhaps be a darker side of them. It could, and it's most usually anonymous. It's so they're not found out, that nobody tells on them for what they're really feeling, things of that nature. They can be more open, be more themselves, apparently. A lot of it is also used for cyberbullying, so people don't know who they are when they make fun of somebody else or they pick on somebody else. A multitude of reasons to have a Finsta, if you will. But you get the premise of it. Here's Dick Blumenthal trying to get Facebook to stop their practice, as he puts it, of Finsta. This is so aggravating. It's I don't have words for it. But again, keep in mind, old people in technology don't mix all the time. Cut 30.
Will you commit to ending Finsta?
Senator, again, let me explain. We don't actually do Finsta. What Finsta refers to is young people setting up accounts where they want to have more privacy. You refer to it as privacy from their parents. What in my interaction with teens, what I found is that they sometimes like to have an account where they can interact just with their with a smaller group of friends.
Well, Finsta that, is that one said, of your
actually.
Finsta is one of your products or services. We're not talking here about Google or Apple. It's Facebook, correct?
Finsta is slang for a type of account.
Okay, will you end that type of account?
I'm not sure I understand exactly what you're asking. What I can say is that based on what we've seen in terms of teens using those kinds of accounts, we've actually given them additional privacy options to address those kinds of issues where they want more privacy so that they can have more privacy.
Well, I don't think that's an answer to my question.
Well, because you didn't know what you were asking, you old man. You had no idea what you were talking about. And God bless this woman. I'm not on Facebook's side here, but God bless this woman for having the patience of Job trying to explain this to him. My point being that you can't have people that have no idea how this stuff works or the terminology deciding the future of this stuff. It's insane. You need to get people who are relevant and knowledgeable enough on these issues, on these committees. You can't have some sort of oversight committee on technology that with somebody as old and not with it as Dick Blumenthal.
I used to be with it, but then they changed what it was. Now what I'm with isn't it, and what's it seems weird and scary to me.
At least Grandpa Simpson knows what he's talking about. Dick Blumenthal does not. It's very frightening that and again, this is an issue where this could have all been prevented if parents had a better idea of what their kids were up to and had more open conversations with them about social media. It's forever. You're not going to have anything deleted that you want deleted. You put something up there, it's forever. People will find it, whether it's under your account or your burner account. Look at Mitt Romney. He had a Finsta. Now he's known as Pierre Delecto. 844-500-4242. I'm Taylor Cormier, filling in for Howie Carr, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Howie Carr will return after this brief commercial break.
either I'm dead right or I'm crazy.
You wouldn't care to put that to a vote, would you, Senator?
The Howie Carr Show.
None of us here probably would enter a car and start driving without buckling up. 50 years ago, some people protested using seatbelts. Today, we don't. We know how safe and effective they are. Same thing with vaccines, same thing with masks, same thing with social distancing, same thing with better ventilation, same thing with better hygiene. We know what works. It's common sense. And I would just tell each and every parent, please use common sense. Don't let anyone stop you from protecting your kids.
That's Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra talking about getting kids vaccinated and comparing it to the seatbelts of 50 years ago, the protests that went on. Yeah, okay, that's not a fair comparison. Because if 50 years ago or 60 years ago, the seatbelt laws started coming in and it was discovered after numerous tests and studies that, you know, people under the age of, you know, 18 with no other outlying health conditions didn't fly out of the car when it got into a crash. In fact, they were relatively completely safe. And only fat people and old people flew out of the windshield. They probably wouldn't have seatbelts for kids. They might say it might damage them. That's not a fair comparison to make. Strange days we live in. Tom, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Taylor, I do have a fair comparison to make. I listened to that audio clip about Finsta, and it kind of reminds me of people that don't understand how guns operate, let alone even own a gun, wanting to legislate about gun control and gun laws.
Right. No, that happens all the time, right? Even Joe Biden, 100-200 clips in a weapon. Yeah, how many times has he said that? 30, 40, 50. He wants to ban guns that can hold 10 rounds. I carry a gun that can nearly hold that. It's you have a lot of people that don't know a lot about what they're talking about doing the legislation, and it's quite obvious. And it's what's really obvious is when people actually do the research on the issues that they're talking about. Like Ted Cruz today, for example, was talking about Rachel Rollins, and he did a deep dive on Rachel Rollins. He was on that committee that was overseeing the nominations, recommending them or not recommending them to the full Senate. And he did the deep dive on Rachel Rollins. In fact, he said it. He had no idea who she was. But then he looked at her record and he was absolutely breathless by the things she had said and the actions that she had taken. Do you have that folder open, Matt? Let's go to Cut 26. Then we'll take us out of the show here talking about her stance on drug trafficking. Cut 26.
Possession with intent to distribute. So if you're a drug dealer, get yourself to Massachusetts. You know, it used to be that you had to pay off a prosecutor and have a corrupt prosecutor on the payroll to get out of jail. Now you've got someone who's just openly saying, drug dealers, come to Massachusetts.
That does it for us tonight. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Howie Carr Show. Go see Howie and Grace tomorrow, 12 to 6 at Aviva Trattoria in Malden. I'm Taylor Cormier. Have a great night.